The opinions and viewpoints expressed in this recording may not reflect those of its sponsors, Microsoft, its partners, or employees.
Welcome to show number 51, recorded live on the 19th of March 2008, ninth in the 12 podcasts of Christmas. In this show, co-hosted by Andy Westgarth, we're joined by Viral Tarpara, a Microsoft Collaboration DPE. Expect to hear about collaboration, SharePoint, open source, through Microsoft's Port 25 initiative, and find out what Viral does to relax. Watch out for the search engine GoodSave near the end. Enjoy! Wednesday, the 19th of March 2008. We're at the launch in Birmingham at the ICC. Here's what's happened here. With me, I have Andrew Westgarth from VBug and Viral Tarpara. Viral works for Microsoft. We're going to have a quick chat to Viral about what he does for Microsoft and learn more about his involvement at the launch. Viral, could I ask you to introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and what you do for Microsoft.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. First off, I'd like to say I really appreciate the opportunity to do this podcast. It's really exciting to be part of such a huge launch event. And even though it's technically our event, my event, or whatever, it's just great to see so much community involvement from our partners as well as the blogosphere. So, yeah, my name is Viral Tarpara, and I'm a collaboration specialist and IT evangelist with DPE UK in Microsoft. And for those of you who don't know what DPE stands for, it means Developer and Platform Evangelism. Our stated goal is to basically reach out to the community, both Microsoft and non-Microsoft, and just to talk about interesting things that our products can do and really show the value and power of our ecosystem.
So that means you get out on the road, you get to meet customers, users, communities, user groups, that kind of thing, is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. A huge component of my job and my team's job as well is to reach out to user groups. We engage with a lot of Microsoft user groups, but increasingly with the new announcements on interoperability last year, as well as just a few weeks ago, we're engaging with the open source community a lot more. I always found that coming from the States, I lived in California, and that's probably one of the most anti-Microsoft places you could work as a Microsoft employee. And so I had a pretty good dealing with the open source community, good relationships as well. So I think it's interesting to see it across the pond.
So how do you find that interaction with the open source community and the perceptions in the UK then of Microsoft? We deal with other community leaders who deal with open source communities. And one of the funny comments that one of those made last time was, they argue amongst themselves about their own technology, let alone start arguing about Microsoft. So I'm interested to hear what your experience has been of that.
I think there's two things with Microsoft. One, we've made a lot of bad decisions in the past at the executive level as well as the product level. But two, we're starting to realize that for not only it's beneficial to reach out to the community for compliance reasons, for reasons for general goodwill, as well as there's a real shift in the company in mindset. It's like, no, there's actually some solid benefits from the open source mindset. And you can see that from our offerings from like Port 25, which is our open source research labs. You see that we have Apple Labs at Redmond. So we're doing a lot to make sure that interoperability is a key thing of every Microsoft product. To answer your question around engaging the community, I find it personally that if long as you're open, honest, as well as assertive in exactly what Microsoft technologies allow you to do and how it interoperates, not just preaching the mantra that we interoperate, but actually showing them, no, look, it really does interoperate with Java. It does. OpenXML can be implemented in OpenOffice. And showing them those things, then it reduces the barrier to actually address that audience.
I heard at the beginning of this podcast that you mentioned the word collaboration. Do you want to share a few words about that for us?
Yeah, sure. So Microsoft has a really strong collaboration story dating all the way back from our mail server product back in before I was even in the industry. And it has slowly evolved into products that we all know today, such as Outlook 2003, 2007, to Exchange. Increasingly and more popularly, the world is catching on to one of our newer products called SharePoint, It's actually the fastest growing collaboration product that Microsoft has ever released. And so around collaboration, what Microsoft really believes is that the desktop is not the focal point of collaboration anymore. It really comes down to centralizing all the information down to how people can access their information anytime, anywhere, and being able to show it in a way that it's usable. Meaning, if I'm on the road, I need access to information sitting on my server. How can I do that without busting out my laptop? I have a mobile phone that connects through VPN or as a part of the network and accesses that data. If I'm at my desktop, then obviously I have my laptop. But if I'm at a customer offsite, being able to also access sensitive corporate data through a web access or a web portal that's managed by IT staff, by the corporation, in a controlled way, that's all. These are all components of a strong collaborative story, and SharePoint really facilitates that.
I've implemented SharePoint as a developer from web content management side of things, and it is a massive product. And I see that as being one of the biggest challenges with it. How do you interact with customers and users to actually break it down into bite-sized chunks, if you like, something that's easy to digest and actually work with? Because it can, my view is, in the right organisation and the right size organisation, it's a great tool. But if you put it in the wrong place, it can end up being a nightmare. So what would you, how would you counter that argument or lead to it?
That's just a really good, great point. And the way I like to always talk about SharePoint is that, look, it is this huge, massive product. But if you're going to sell it in by saying that's a huge, massive product, or if you're going to deploy it with that mindset, you're probably going to lead to failure for one of a few reasons. One is that you really have to take technology projects in this time and day in chunks, small pieces, and really attack some of the core problems in any business. If you try to attack it all at once, then you're just setting yourself up for failure. And I think the same thing applies to SharePoint. When you deploy SharePoint, you should really target it at what business problem are you trying to solve, and make sure that there's proper pre-planning, evaluation, piloting, and governance set up around it. And I think most organizations are familiar with the first three, especially in the as SMB as well as the enterprise space. But increasingly, what you're starting to realize is that companies are paying more attention to governance of their technology. And that's something that SharePoint absolutely requires, that we, you know, developers need to have strong relationships with the business owners of that project. The business owners need to be talking with the IT directors and the IT managers, showing exactly how the product is going to help tie into the business. These are all things around governance. And so if you don't have that, then your deploying SharePoint will be really not an ideal experience for the end user, the developer, or the IT manager. Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. You talked about collaboration, and you started off mentioning the amount of community activity there is here. In the northeast of England, through my user group, VBug, we've done a lot of collaboration with the SharePoint user group. So bridging that gap between developers and IT pros.
Okay.
So bringing them all together in one place. Where do you see that evolution going? And do you see that the waters are getting more muddied and it's converging? Or do you still think that it's two distinct audiences?
That's an interesting question. If I'm completely raw with you guys, I think it is blurring, especially with a product like SharePoint. I know I had a very minor development background coming into Microsoft, and then I was always focused on IT for the last 10 years, and then really trying to become a SharePoint expert, per se. That has been kind of difficult because it's forced me to deal with a lot of development concepts that I wasn't natively familiar with as an IT, you know, pro. And so I think there's a lot of... interesting enough, I think some of the most talented people that use our products don't actually work in Microsoft. They work in, you know, partners and whatnot, because they're working with the product every day and often under-resourced, understaffed, and they're having to do both development work, scripting work, as well as, you know, deployment and, you know, architecture, and, you know, with a team of three or four people. The best place to really see cutting-edge stuff is in the education public sector field, where they're not worried about stuff like security as much as, you know, let's say a DOD or a government official would be. And they're doing some amazing things with, you know, three or four people. That just shows you the power and flexibility of the Microsoft platform, but also how accessible it is to develop and, you know, solve those problems. So
I think what you said there about there being an awful lot of expertise in the Microsoft product set outside of Microsoft itself is quite key, and we're here at essentially a community focused part of the launch. You know, there is a community lounge, this is a community podcast. You know, community is important to Andy and I. How do you think it is to Microsoft? Is it very important to them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that I remember growing up, this kind of maybe shows you how old I am, but growing up, I actually watched a recording of the Windows 95 launch. And, you know, when they had the Start Me Up song go on, I was like, are you kidding? This is like software. This is a computer. It's like, I know I'm a nerd, but I can't believe so many other nerds exist out there. Microsoft has always been focused on the computer because at the end of the day, if people don't develop with our platform, if people don't use our products, then we're not going to sell anything. You know, we could, as much as the open source crowd, and this is probably my one jab to open source community, is that as much as they like to tout that, you know, Microsoft isn't cool and whatnot, I would argue that there are very few events worldwide that come even as close to as being cool and geeky as our Microsoft launch events anywhere in the world. So, you know, I've been to OzCon, I've been to so many other I've been to Macworld, I just came back from Macworld. I mean, we focus a lot on community. I actually came into, it's a funny story with Microsoft, I actually came in from working from Apple, as well as Intel, and I came into Microsoft. So I'm a pretty big Apple advocate. But I think the spaces that Microsoft deals with are completely different. They're in a completely different business than what Microsoft does. And so, you know, if I were to ask you today who's the largest Apple development house outside of Apple, what would be your pick?
I would say the Office 2008 team.
Ah, you're right. So, you know, we're the biggest ISVs of Apple. So, I mean, this is kind of like a love-hate relationship, I guess you could say. But, you know, I don't think there's any animosity or antagonism there.
Okay, so you've mentioned you've been into software from an early age and IT field.
Yeah.
But what do you like to do outside of Microsoft? What sort of things do you do to relax and unwind after all this community activity and research?
Yeah, I was having a conversation with one of the marketing managers about, you know, what do you do every day? It's like, well, I don't know, do I work? It's like, well, define work. Doesn't work have to be boring? It's like, I love what I do, so does that mean I'm working? So I guess, from a work-life balance perspective, I'm really still trying to figure that out because I love my job. One of the reasons I took this job is because I get to travel and see the really cool places. And to some degree, that does let me unwind and do my own thing. On a strictly personal level, stuff I like to do, I love snowboarding. I try to go out as often as I can, which is not often enough. I love traveling. I like going to India, seeing doing some religious things out there, seeing temples, hiking. I also go back to the States quite often, and just to hang out with some college buddies. That's pretty much all I do. And obviously, a new thing I've picked up while moving out to the UK is the pub culture, so gotta love that.
Viral, do you have a blog?
I do have a blog. It's actually, if you go to www.haveyouseenmystapler.net, or if you just Google me, or live search me, or Yahoo search me, a nice save, you could just feed me. I'll be the first hit on that. So haveyouseenmystapler.net.
That's great. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The music used in this podcast was provided by Kevin MacLeod. Visit his website at www.incompetech.com. That's INCOMPETECH. This was a Craig Murphy.com production.